We're still going to pray for Daddy today too, because he came to church. That'd be wonderful to pray for him. Amen? But that will be towards the end of my sermon this morning. And I've been focusing on the Lord Jesus Christ, because that's what God prompts me to focus on. Because that's where we have been missing it for a long time. We don't have any other place to focus on. The Bible says, looking unto who? Jesus. That's what the Bible says. Looking unto Jesus. So Acts chapter 4 verse 11 says, for Jesus is the one referred to in the scripture where it says, the stone that you builders rejected has now become the what? The cornerstone. There is salvation in no one else. God has given no other name under heaven by which we must be saved. And then 1 Corinthians 3:11 says, for other foundation can no man lay than that that is laid, which is Jesus Christ himself. Philippians 3:3. For we who worship by the Spirit of God are the ones who are truly circumcised. How is it so? We rely on what Christ Jesus has done for us. We put no confidence in human effort. One more scripture. Philippians 1:11. May you always be filled with what? Come on, with what? I want to hear everybody. With what? The fruit of your salvation. What is the fruit of your salvation? The righteous character that is produced by you. Come on, talk. Produced by you, right? Produced by your effort, right? Produced by what? Produced in your life by Jesus Christ. For this we bring much glory and praise to God. Can we hear amen?
Amen.
We must understand, brethren, that the enemy is fighting so hard to stifle the gospel. Fighting furiously to put the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ in the back burner. He is fighting so furiously to give us what looks like it. He comes into the temple, into the house of God, takes the gold, and wants to give us the brass. He is fighting so furiously to give you religion and push you back to Judaism and push you out of Christianity. Because Judaism is what they used to practice before Jesus came. And Judaism is what Moses was doing with them. Where all you do is about laws and what to do. At the time of Moses, there was no Christ, there was no Jesus, there was no salvation, there was no blood of Jesus, there was no Holy Spirit doing what he's doing today. He's fighting hard to take away my faith and your faith from the solid rock that is Jesus Christ and put it on sinking sand. Because he knows that as long as your faith has been shifted from Christ to sinking sand, he can kick you like anything. He knows that. He's not a fool. He understands that very well. That the only foundation upon which you can put your faith and it will overcome him, overcome the world, is who? Jesus Christ. He knows that. He's not a fool. And he's been doing this with tremendous success. Incredible success. But blessed be the name of the Lord. Not as long as you and I are here and the Spirit of God is walking with us. Jesus is our sure foundation. We're not shifting it. We must understand, and I've been saying this over and over because many people do not know it. There's so much carnality in the body of Christ. There is so much fleshly stuff going on. There is so much that you begin to wonder. You really begin to wonder. When you deal with a Christian, even leaders and pastors and things, pretty soon you find anger boiling up. You find all manner of things just boiling up like that. You find pride just boiling up like that. And you wonder, so what difference has the Christianity made? You go to many homes, there's no peace. You find a lot of Christians who are quarreling, don't even talk to one another. And they are comfortable. Are you serious? How can somebody be in pool and is sitting there? Something must be wrong. So you find a lot of carnality. We're talking of passion for Jesus. Not many people really have passion for Jesus. Not many people. I mean, look at this young man that walked in America, trekked from City Hall to here. Went on the internet searching. Some of you come, you just come once in a while. Why? They ask you, where are you following? Say, I'm following Jesus. Are you serious? What is he following? And that's why we're not making much difference while we walk. Because we fight like they fight. We quarrel like they quarrel. And then we bring Jesus in it. That's the thing that makes me, I feel like. Keep Jesus out of what you are doing. Let them know that it's you. Don't say, hey, God will judge me on you. And you carry the Bible. When you're already messing the testimony of Jesus up. The reason this thing is happening is because our faith is not sound. We are not overcoming the world, not overcoming the flesh, not overcoming our emotions, not living where Christ wants us to live, in a place of dominion, in a place of reigning, in a place of glory, because our faith is not sound. Our faith is not placed where it should be. And so the enemy, the world, push your emotion just like that. Slight thing, they push your emotion, you boil over. Boom, 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 boom. Do you understand what I'm saying? Have you noticed what I'm saying? How many Christians can you talk with something serious that anger won't come in within 30 minutes? They still talk in the love of Jesus. How many Christians can you sit down and correct and say, my brother, I think this is not right. And they're still humble. We must understand that our ability to do anything at all depends on what Christ Jesus has done for us. Our ability to do anything depends totally on what Christ Jesus has what? Done for us and what he's doing. I keep emphasizing it. The Lord said, go back there. You go back there because their faith must be on my son. Depends entirely on what Christ has done in your life and what he's doing now in your life. We have no life outside of Jesus, brethren. It doesn't exist because the Bible makes it clear. We live in him. So if Jesus is your sure foundation and the pillar that holds your life, trying to do anything outside of what the strength and the work that the pillar has done is creating another pillar, creating another foundation that will not work. Can you imagine building a house without foundation? Has anybody with good sense done that? And yet Jesus is our what? So how can I try to live my life and I don't even know what the foundation is? We think Jesus is the pillar that are there. How can I do things and think that I'm the one? Is he not the pillar? How can I produce? Where is this pillar coming from? If you knock out these things, 1, 2, 3, 4, this thing will come down. If you knock out Christ, if you don't put your weight on Christ, if you don't put the weight on this thing, on this pillar, this thing will come down. The slightest breeze, you see, that's what our life, the slightest problem we have, anger blows us to pieces. With lying blows us to pieces. Because the life is not on the pillar that holds it. can I try to live a life? How can I try to be good and be holy without regards to the foundation? Without regards to the pillar? On what am I laying down my holiness? And on what am I laying down my goodness? Is it not on me? On what I do? My determination to be good? Come on, church. And then situation comes now. And the thing scatters. All that you are good. I surrender. 24 hours, there's no surrender anymore. Because the whole thing is not laid on the foundation. It's not laid on the pillar. It says, this is what carries my ability to surrender. It is Christ, the pillar. Somebody shout hallelujah. And when you lay it on him, come rain, come sunshine, it is unsure for anybody that trusts in him will never be put. That's what I'm teaching you here. It's not about what you do and your determination to be this. What is Christ in it? What is Jesus in it? What is the foundation? Ask yourself, this thing I'm talking about, what is the foundation of it? My goodness, my being righteous, the sure foundation of it is Christ, what he did. Look, it is what this thing does that carries this thing. It's not what that thing does that carries it. It is what this thing does. It's the strength this thing. It's the thing in position. It is what it does. It's what it pushes up that holds this building. It's what Christ does, pushes, that holds your life. Can I hear amen? Amen. If we're complete in Christ, why are you looking for something else? What do you want to add again? Where he says, you are complete. Do you know, I mean, if you want to build a house, let me say, for instance, you want to build a two-bedroom house in the village, you want to impress your in-laws, like, I brought them a key to Nissan vehicles. Any Nissan they want, they cannot go and get it. Nissan sent me one card with one key on it. My wife said, what key is this? I said, I don't know. I said, I know who to give it to. It's your paper. So they go and carry any Nissan car. You know advertisement they do? They send you a key that is useless. I put all the pictures of cars like that so that you go and... So I brought it for my in-laws. After service, they must receive it. So do you know, you want to build a two-bedroom bungalow in the house, and the man building for you doesn't know anything about foundation. How far would your house go? I'm asking a simple question. He doesn't know anything about pillars. How can your life be built? You don't know anything about the foundation. And neither do you know anything about the pillar. How far can you go? How far can you go? Is it not that the engineer must first be familiar with what the foundation is made of and how it is laid? So that if he's building your house, you can be sure that he's laying the proper foundation. How can we live lives without knowing Christ Jesus, the foundation? How do we lay it? How do we lay it? Galatians 2:20. My old self, everybody say my old self, has been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live. Listen to Paul, brethren. The Holy Spirit said to us to copy this man. He said, whatever you see me, they do. And all scripture is inspired of God. And it doesn't say that Paul is perfect. What the Holy Spirit is saying is, what a man I took from nothing and made him something by my grace. And Paul finally said, the grace of God made me what I am. He said, I was, of all sinners, I was the worst. So if there's anybody you can look at and see how God can change their life, look at how God changed my life. All that Paul is saying, I'm giving testimony of what the grace of God did. So look at, find out here where his confidence is. My old self has been what? Crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ, what? Listen to me. So I live in this earthly body by trusting in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself. What Jesus did for him was not lost on him. He said, I live in this world I live. All the confidence I have is in what he did. He said, I'm not what I used to be. Not because Paul wants to be good. He said, because Jesus Christ took my old sinful nature and crucified it. Somebody shout hallelujah. He said, that's why I am what I am. It's not because Paul wants to be good. No. He said, because it's like surgery. You have a hernia. Hernia? Okay, let's not use that one. Let's find a more simpler disease. That, you know, that I watched one thing in Nigeria. One man, the doctor told him, he said, you have malaria. The man got angry. He said, of all the sicknesses, is this common one that you say I have? He said, there are ones that rich men suffer. He didn't call that one. He said, it's ordinary malaria that everybody has that they are giving me. And the man was very furious with the doctor. He said, they began to call all these long sickness. He said, if you call one of them, it will be better. But malaria, you are insulting me. So supposing, you know, sickness is like that. I showed it to you last. We still have our cloth also. And we still have God here. Today, our Jesus has our mother. We still have God here. You see, this is God. God, can you stand where you stood? This is me. Brethren, I want you to understand this. Please understand this. This is you and me. The Bible says, but our nature is sinful, right? And it's because of this sinful nature we do what we do. Am I right? And the scripture says, if God just forgave us our sins, we are still miserable because we still have this nature. God cut off this body. Read it. That's scripture for you. Because he said he put our sins on Christ Jesus. He carried it on himself. This, what I used to wear, God took it all and put on him. So that's why he took my place. And the Bible said when Christ was crucified and he died, he took off everything to the grave. So God is going to the grave. This Jesus. This Jesus doesn't know how to go to the grave. So he went to the grave. And when he rose up, he left the whole thing there, come up. And came up again. And the Bible said, listen. The Bible said he's returning without sin. Because he doesn't carry it. The Bible says he was sanctified in the spirit. Which means this sin was cut off right here. And left right here in the grave where it belongs. And he came up. Who he is. And here I am accepting him into my life. So my sin is now there. I've accepted him and his life has been imparted into me. Because the Bible says he that is joined to the Lord has become one spirit with him. And Christ in me now is the hope of what? Glory is not living in shame and sinfulness. Paul said, I've been crucified with him. This, my body of sin, has been what? I understand that. And because of that, sin can control me because, as far as I'm concerned, it's dead. So it's dead. So I'm not trying to struggle. I am believing a truth that the Spirit of God witnessed to me about Christ and my life. That, hey, God took away your old sinful nature, placed it on his Son, crucified it on the cross. And when he rose in newness of life. And you too now has a new life. So that this old one is no more controlling you. Say, go and believe that. Thank you. Let me give back my wife this thing. So I don't lose my lunch. Go and sit down. When you people go home, you go and have your lunch. Paul said, I am put that Galatia up again. My old self, my old, Galatia 2:20. My old self has been what? Do we understand that when you leave, when you go to the hospital and they do surgery on you, when you come out, they say, do you still have this? No. I had surgery. Your confidence is not in you. Your confidence is in the what the surgeon took away. It's gone. Come on now. The disease of sin has been cut off. It's gone. Paul said, my old self has been what? Crucified with Christ. So now it is no longer I, because that my nature died. Who lives? But Christ lives where? In me. So now I live in this earthly body by simply trusting Jesus. That what he did for me is real. That what he did for me is what? Is real. Look at Colossians 2:11. When you came to Christ, you were circumcised. Is that cutting off or what? Yeah. You were circumcised, but not by a physical procedure. So there was a procedure. What is a procedure? Now we have a problem. What's a procedure? Medical procedure. What, doc, when they say there's a medical a procedure is something that was done. Something that was, this man from Oka is looking at me. He's wondering what is this procedure. So I put it up now, we're not done. Please go back there. When you came to Christ, you were circumcised. But not by a physical hand procedure. Christ himself performed a spiritual circumcision. The cutting away of your sinful nature. Paul said, amen, yeah, my own nature has been crucified and cut away. For you were buried with Christ when you were baptized, and with him you were raised to new life. Remember, that he carried your nature. So when he was buried, it was your nature that was also what? Buried. So now, and with him, you were raised to new life because you trusted. Come on, church. You see where your faith is, the foundation? You trusted the mighty power of God who raised Christ from the dead. Galatians 6:14. As for me, may I never boast about anything except what? Church. Except what? The cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. What happened there? Because of that cross, my interest in this world has been what? Crucified. Because my old nature has been cut away, crucified. And the world's interest in me has also died. Can I hear amen? Now, here we are. Then we come to somebody and say, let us pray for brother. No, not brother. Let us pray for me. Let me use myself here. Say, my wife will come and bring prayer requests. I say, people, please pray for my husband to change. Say, let's pray for my husband to what? And then the whole church rises up and start praying for her husband to change. You know, we pray for people to change. You also pray that God will change you. Partly it's wrong, partly it's right. You got it. Partly it's right. Partly it's what? What is God going to change again when he cut away the body of yours and made you a new creature? What's he going to change again? So partly it's right, but partly it's also is wrong in the sense that God has done what he's supposed to do. What you need to change is your ignorance. For it is when you know the truth to set you free. And God said, the reason you perish and do those things is because of your lack of knowledge. You don't know the truth. So how can it work for you? And because you don't know that truth, it doesn't make any sense to you. It doesn't even come in your consciousness at all. But you know you're supposed to live right. So you storm out to live right. And your foundation is on you and your determination. And the devil says, shush, shush, shush. It won't take 24 hours. You go to your job and somebody steps on your toe. Pam, 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 pam. Prom, prom, prom. You vomit. And then two more people add their mouth. You pa, 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 pa. You know why? You forgot the pillar. Are you getting what I'm saying? You don't go out there and do stuff like that. So when you come back, and then the truth is revealed to you that you have been changed. You are no more what you used to be. And you say amen to that. The reality of your change begins to work physically. That truth that you now know, that you have embraced, begins to manifest how? Come on now. How? Come on, church. How? Praise the Lord. So, the church is living in hope most of the time. And it's affecting our prayer, affecting everything we do. Because we confuse faith with hope. We don't know the difference between hope and what? And faith. You see that prayer you're saying, pray that God will change him, is you are hoping that something will happen. Most of the time, we live our lives in hope. Hope is good. But there's no scripture that says the just shall live by his hope. Can I hear amen? There is not one scripture that says the just shall live by his hope. You can't live by your hope. Hope is something that doesn't exist yet. Faith is something that exists already. Let me repeat it. Hope is something that what? Doesn't exist. Faith is something that exists. The man you are praying to be changed, there is something existing in his life he doesn't know. He is a new creature. He disregards that. And he's hoping for something that has not been done so that God will now do it. That's hope. But if you can come back and begin to live how God said we should live, the just shall live by what? He will not declare like Paul, I have been crucified. That's a fact that exists. And it is no longer I that live. But Christ what? He's making his boast in the Lord. He's made Jesus his sure foundation, church. And his faith will produce the work in his life. Without his effort. Will he be perfect in one day? No. But he'll be growing from glory to glory as his faith solidifies. The more his faith solidifies in that truth, it's just like you are resisting symptoms of sickness. You continue to resist. And one day you will break through the whole thing. I don't know if you are getting what I'm saying. We are living in hope. Most of us live in hope. And you can't receive anything from God by hope. You will not smell, experience any spiritual reality through hope. It's not going to happen. Praise the Lord. Look at Romans 8:24. Can we read Romans 8:24 together? We were given this hope when we were saved. If we already have something, we don't need to what? Hope for it. If you already have it, why do you hope for it? What Paul is talking about is the hope of Christ coming and giving us the new body that Jesus will give us. That's what he's talking about. He said, because that new body has not the one that the Bible says that when he comes, the immortality will what? The mortality will become immortal. That's what he's talking about. He said, if we really already have it, we can't be hoping for it. Can I hear amen? Amen. But so what you, if we already have something, we don't need to hope for it. If you already have. And it's not a question of when you pray. It's not a question of saying, Pastor, you know, I believe God has done it. It means absolutely nothing. If God has done it, is it yours? If God has done it, but is it what? Yours. If it's not yours, you still won't experience it. What they call it is mental asset. Can God heal? Yeah, God heals. Yes. How about you? Do you have it? I don't know if you get what I'm saying. Oh, God has done it. Oh, Pastor, God, I believe God has done it. When they say, I usually say, yeah, amen, and I walk away, there's a lot to explain. Because what you should come to say to me is, God has done it, and it is mine. Paul said, see my life? It is no longer I that live. He said, my body, this old thing has been crucified. He's talking about himself, relating it to himself. He's not saying that, you know, God crucified us. Yeah, me, it's me. I received that thing. My old body has been crucified. He said, I'm a new creature. You have to own what Christ has done, assures. That's called faith. The just shall live by his faith. You must make Jesus the cornerstone of everything. Praise the Lord. I said, praise the Lord. And you know, the problem is, we don't have revelation. The greatest prayer you pray, I had Sister Loma was saying it the other day. He said, I learned that. That's true. Is God to open what? If God doesn't open your eyes, you are walking in spiritual blindness. You can read the Bible from cover to cover and not know nothing about it. It is important. It is, how do they put it in Latin? Sino qua non. What is sino qua non? You can't do without it. Sino qua non. Well, whether I'm wrong or right, you don't know, and I don't know. So let me bamboozle you a little. Look at Luke 24:45. Luke 24, what? 45. And he, what? Opened their understanding that they might comprehend. If God doesn't do this, you are blind, you are ignorant, you don't know anything. I don't care how you can tell me you've been a Christian 20 years. God bless you there. You may not know nothing. There's this woman, this girl, very young girl that read the book of Romans, crammed it up. I mean, crammed it, all of it. And then he met this pastor and was reciting the book of Romans. And then the pastor was so impressed. And he said, man, you crazy pastor. I studied the Bible. And I crammed it. I said, you must understand justification. Now, he said, what is that? You crammed the book of Romans. You don't know what justification is. He said, what is it? And the pastor sat him down and said, the Bible talks of ever learning and never coming to the knowledge of the truth. He said, unless God opens your eyes, you will understand. And he told the young girl, he said, you go pray that God will what? And then the girl went and started praying. And weeks after, rushed back to the pastor and said, it's as if I never read Romans in my life. Every verse you read in that Bible is full of wisdom and revelation. Every verse you read. And all of them are talking about Jesus. Every scripture you read is pointing to Christ. From David and Goliath, just pointing to our salvation. Jesus, they said, we have found he that Moses and the prophets what? Wrote about. And the scripture, the Bible said, Jesus said, I'm the one now that the scripture is talking to. If the Spirit of God is guiding you when you read, he will show you Christ in every verse of the Bible. He's the theme of that scripture, of the Bible. Because he's the word. Can I hear amen? So, and then let's continue. Luke 24:45. And he opened their understanding that they might comprehend the scriptures. Then he said to them, Because now he opened their eyes. He said to them, thus it is written, and thus it was necessary for the Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day. So he started to show them, so that now their eyes has been opened. So they now begin to understand what is that. Ephesians 4:20. But that isn't what you learned about Christ. Since you have heard about Jesus, I have learned the truth that comes from who? 22. Throw off your old sinful nature now, and your former way of life, which is corrupted by lust and deception. Instead now, let the Spirit, what? Renew your thoughts. If you say, if you ever learn from Jesus, he will show you what you need, is that the Spirit should renew your thought and attitudes. Then what happened? Put on your, put on your new nature. Say, you have a new nature. You have what? A new nature. He said, put on your new nature. Created to be like God, truly righteous and holy. He said, God will reveal to you that you have a new nature. Created to be like God. Praise the Lord. I said, praise the Lord. You know, supposing you don't know you have a cloth, you will never put it on. This morning, as I was ironing my wife's cloth, the first time in my life, I got confused. I didn't know which one was blouse or skirt. I put this one, everything came this side. Then I turned this one, everything came this side. I laughed at myself. I said, finally, you have come face to face with womanhood. So I said, who designed this one? I put this one out. When I'm pulling out, everything comes out. So I put it up again. I'm going to find out this one. So I started to put them back small, and then everything came shirakata. I said, whoa, this is amazing. I would never have thought this type of thing in my life. So I started to iron it, and I was laughing all the time I was ironing it. I said, ah, God, you are really wonderful. You created women. Don't let her hear what I'm saying. Yeah, I tried to iron her clothes. I tried. I said, honey, go do something. It takes you more time to prepare. Try to do it. I said, it takes you more time to prepare. So you go and be getting ready. In 5 minutes, I'm dressed up. So you bring your earrings. It takes them 30 minutes to bring those ones out. And then, you know, other things. Then to select the handbag is another 15 minutes project. To select the shoe. And then I said, you have a lot of projects to handle. So, your wife is listening, I'm telling her. So you have a lot of projects. Let me iron your clothes and help you out. while you're taking care of this other project. And yet, when they still dress up, there's still something they'll forget. They will always go back for something, one more thing. And let me advise you, when they go back for it, you better be patient. So that you have rest unto your soul. And then you and Jesus are still in good terms. Jesus knows them well, so don't worry about it. If you tell my wife this, I will come to your home for lunch. They say all work and no play makes Jack a dog. I wanted to ease you up because you know I've been teaching you something that is a little bit. Amen? Are you following what I'm saying? Yes. So we need the Spirit of God to reveal to us the mystery called Jesus, what he has done. So that you too can, your testimony with which you overcome will be the testimony of what Christ has done. The testimony with which you overcome is that you can say, I have a new nature. If you don't know you have a cloth, you won't go for it. You won't wear it. You will try to go out, but you try to find something that you yourself produced. And God said, no, I have a cloth for you. I made you a new creature. I gave you a new dress. Put it on. So how do I put it on? Acknowledge it. Do what? Acknowledge it. And say, Lord, I give you praise. My old nature has been crucified. I have a new nature. I am walking out here, trusting your Spirit to work out this thing in my life. Because on my own, I can do nothing. But you have made me what I am, and I'm complete. So I'm stepping out in confidence in your spirit that he will work out what Christ has already made me. And you go out with no stress in your life. And you find God working out the truth. Where you used to be angry, they will do something. The anger won't even come. That's how by the Spirit you put to death the works of the flesh. It didn't say struggle with the works of the flesh. It said put it what? Kill it. You kill it. What we are doing is character management. There's no character management is done by any religion. But what religions don't do is they can't tell you that Jesus died for you and they gave you a new nature. That's Christianity for you. Can I hear amen? That's the difference. We talk about Jesus. In him, we live. In him, we move. In him, being. And that being is the new creature. No religion can tell you that Jesus made you a new creature. No. But they can tell you, you are not supposed to tell lies. You are not supposed to do this. Even traditional religion will tell you, don't commit fornication. But it's only Christianity that tells you that it is God that changed you in Christ. And only believe, and you will see the glory of God. That's the difference. That's the difference. And that's what people are not being taught. We're not teaching Christ crucified. But we must teach him. Can I hear amen?
Amen.
Are you following me?
Yes.
Okay. So now, look at 2 Corinthians 5:14. And see Paul again. Either way, Christ's love controls us. You know, Jesus, it's a lot to talk about Christ. He poured his love into us. And Paul, he said, what controls me now is not me, it's the love of God in me. Everything is about Christ to him. That's why he said, Christ is my all and all. He said, I don't want to hear anything among you except Christ. Anybody doesn't want to hear about Jesus is controlled by demons. I'm not telling you a lie. Anybody who doesn't want to hear about Christ, the Son of God, is under the influence of, I'm not saying possessed, is being motivated by demonic spirit. Because it's demons that don't want to hear about who? Jesus Christ. Paul said, either way, Christ's love controls me. What controls him? The love of Jesus. Since we believe that Christ died for all, we also believe that we have all died to our old life. You see, he's still talking about that. Old life is gone. For as a man thinketh in his heart, brethren, so shall he be. I do this ironing, not because I'm good or want to be good. I found that that's the Spirit of God will move me. Say, that's your wife. Go iron for her. I may not even know. But something said to me, your wife is ironing. Go iron for her. Brethren, this is a simple life. It takes away burden from your head. And you flourish. If you tell any story of your life and you're not referencing what Christ is doing, that's not Christian. That's not Christianity at all. Because it is Christ that's working you. And all the glory goes what? To him. Come and tell me I'm doing this. Pastor Victor put it right. He said only God can say I. None of us can. Pastor, how did you put it? I do. I will. No, nobody else can say, I will, only God. Even the book of James said, how can you say, I will do this today, do that tomorrow? He said, what do you know? He said, only God allows it. Praise the Lord. So Paul says, since we believe that Christ died for all, we also believe that we have all died to our old self. Do we believe that? 15. He died. Listen to Paul. All his reference is Christ, my completeness, Christ, my hope, Christ, my all, Christ, my foundation, Christ, my pillar. Christ, everything is Christ, 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 Christ. Because it has nothing else except Christ crucified. So he died for everyone so that those who receive his new life, those who receive what? His new life, will no longer live. They are no more selfish. That's what they say. Selfishness died with the old flesh. He says, instead now, they will live for who? Christ, who died. Keep listening to Paul, talking about he died, who died and was raised for them. 16, so we have stopped evaluating others from a human point of view. So Paul, how do you evaluate people? He said at one time we thought of Christ merely from a human point of view. We had no revelation. How differently we know him now. Somebody shout hallelujah. This means, what does it mean? It means that anyone who belongs to Christ has become a new person. The old life is gone. A new life has begun. The old life, everything you came into this world with, defect, you don't come and tell me, Pastor, you know my own is anger. No. You don't know the truth yet. What you should tell me is, Pastor, the old life is what? God. And somebody say, how about the anger? Don't worry about it. It is gone. Because you persist with your testimony. Brethren, you fight the fight of faith like you fight symptoms of sickness. That's the way you find symptoms of sin. You stand and say, you can't be in my body. I'm a new creature. The war continues. You declare it every day. You stand your ground. You say, you are not part of me. Jesus set me free. You cannot operate here. You anger, you are not part of me. You are not. I am telling you, men, you get angry. Men, it won't be long. You find that you are like cold water. No struggle. The same people that they will come and be licking your feet and kicking you. You ask them, are you okay? If you are kicking feet, they are kicking you. But you say, are you what? Are you okay? Did you hurt yourself? Now, because you are beginning to know Christ and realize that, listen to me, church. You are beginning to realize that they are kicking your feet means what? They can't do nothing. You don't have to bother about them. Because he that keepeth Israel does not sleep. You have known Christ crucified. Your faith in him has become solid. And you are no more fearful. No more fearful. Oh, praise the Lord. 16. So we have stopped. So 17. This means that anyone who belongs to Christ has become a new person. The old life is gone. A new life has begun. Can the church shout a big amen here? Amen. And all of this is a gift from God who brought us back to himself through Christ. Listen to Paul. He's talking about what God did through Christ. He died to have a new life. He said, with this new life, we're no more selfish. We don't live for Jesus. It's a new type of life created to be like Christ. God into righteousness, into holiness. He said before, we didn't know Christ this way. But God opened what? Did you watch that, Paul? Initially, when somebody will oppose him when he's preaching, he said, God will not say you will not see the sun for this. Go and read Paul later on, brethren, when he wrote to the Corinthians, they insulted him. They say you are not trustworthy. They sorted him. They said, this man, his preaching is nonsense. They said, the only thing is that he is educated, so his letter is powerful. Is it not what they said? They said, when he writes letters, he went to university. Because Paul was educated. They said his letter was, but his word was contemptible, that his preaching was nonsense. And Paul didn't know how to preach truly. He didn't. He was preaching. One man slept and died. That will tell you how. Paul was not this type of preaching that people no. And he admitted it. He said, when I'm stand before you, he said, I stand before you in fear and what? Trembling. He said, good thing I don't know how to speak, but see the result in your lives. So that your faith will not be on Paul, on men, but in the power of who? God. He said, I don't know how to. So they told him, they insulted Paul, but when Paul wrote to them, he called them beloved. I call them beloved me. I know what to call them. Paul called them, he said, saints of God, called of God. They were so carnal. This man was calling them with all affection. He said to them, he said, is it I don't love you? He said, God knows I do. He said, but you don't love me. That's the problem. He said, please, they like your hearts. See what is happening now? The character of Christ is being formed in him, in his mind, not in his physical, because God has created a new man, but his mind is being renewed. So in his mind, he's seeing the character of Christ, believing. The more you believe, the more you see. The more you believe, the more you see. Somebody shout hallelujah. This is powerful. And then let me show you. There's scripture for that. There's scripture for that. Father, I give you praise. Luke 8:18. Now go to Matthew 25:29. Matthew 25, what? What did he say? To those who use well what they have, what they are what? Given, even more will be given. And they will have an abundance. Did you know that Paul had abundance of revelation? Because he used the one that was given to him. And then he said, but from those who do nothing, even that little they have, will what? Taking away means it will go stale. It won't produce anything. You will live like a heathen. It won't work. He said, if you use what God has given you, the revelation God gave to Paul, he accepted it. Testifying of it everywhere, and it was working in his life, and God was giving him more, and they had abundance of revelation. God has given you new life now, created you new now. Use it, accept it to be true, acknowledge it. In all your ways, acknowledge him. Stop looking up to yourself and trying to think you are somebody. It's Jesus that is everything. He's our all and all. Acknowledge him. I'm a new creation. Lord, I give. Wake up every morning, bless him. Lord, the old nature is gone. And the devil say, hey, gone, what about this? He said, no. He that trusts in him shall not be put to shame. Even though yesterday I may not have gotten it right, but the devil, I'm up today again. I roll my day. Do you know the truth is your belt? Right? Without it, no other weapon works. I'm telling you right now. That's why God says, my people perish for lack of what? If you are ignorant, no weapon works. You'll be a mincemeat for the flesh and the devil. They mess you up. They can give you religion to be doing 20 days, 30 days, 50, no food, doing all that kind of stuff. But the belt of truth, and Christ is the truth. When you know the God you serve, Jesus, the Bible says you shall be strong and you shall do extra. You know that Christ has destroyed the power of sin over your life. Destroy the power of Satan over your life and set you free completely. You tie that truth, it ties every other weapon together for you. That's what it does. But the devil will come and tell you, see, is it that thing? Because God says, I will use the foolish things to what? Save you. He said, those who are perishing, don't know me, they will look down on this. But God has no other salvation for us. Can I hear amen? Amen. Don't you look down on the cross. Don't let the devil push you there. Let your hope, let your confidence, let our confidence be in what Jesus has done for us. Live in faith. It is finished. He has already changed you. Why don't you use what he has given you? And more. Let's rise up. When, look, this is not magic. You see, this is my wife. When we were prayed for by Reverend Kumuyi, when we got saved in the palace, my wife, no, I think before we went there, my wife went to the classroom and said, this is how I'm going to look very soon. She said, I'm going to look like this. My story, sorry. They said, what is that? I said, pregnancy. The closest friend called her and said, oh, babe, stop saying that. Supposing you are not, he said, you're a liar. I am. Publicly. If you are proud of Jesus publicly, he will be proud of you publicly. Amen. She's here in the classroom. She'll go to the mirror and say, this is how my stomach is going to come. And I didn't even have an idea she was doing all this. Brethren, the stomach finally. When armed robbers came to my house, they came in a group and they were killers. Pressed my bell. And I was leaving to go and answer them, 3 a.m. My wife came and said, it's armed robbers. I asked her, I said, what are they coming here to do? And then she was pregnant with this baby now, very pregnant. He said, I don't care, but the scripture says, oh, Jesus. Woo! He said, the scripture says, no evil shall come nigh my dwelling. He said, they will never enter here. And I'm going to bed. She's here. He said, the scripture says, God says, no evil shall come near my dwelling. So they can't enter here. And I am going, what? Your faith is, you show God, you mean what you're saying. It's done already. So she didn't have to pray. She just said, God said it is done. I went to bed. That's faith, not hope. It's done. And I said to her, you are going to bed. She said, yeah. I said, okay. I said, okay. My wife is going to bed when I'm rubber side. And I began my own warrior. I said, I bind you in Jesus' name. All of a sudden, I heard them shout, Adamu, Adamu, they are here, they are here, they are there. Who they saw, I don't know. They jumped the wall, jumped everything, and left. No, the story is not finished. The following day, they came back to my neighbor and killed them. And brethren, we miss a lot. She said, the scripture said, and went to bed. He that believes has entered the rest of God. She went into her rest. For it is God that performs his word, not her. Not her. We must trust in the arm of the Lord, even for your life. If he says you're a new creature, you are a new creature. Enter into his rest and be give him glory and say, don't worry about what you're seeing. Forget about it. Finally, everything will be turning and turning and turning and turning and turning. For the counsel of the Lord must stand. You don't have to be afraid of anything. It won't work overnight. No. But gradually, as you renew your mind, the more you renew, the more the light, the entrance of the word brings light. The more the light comes, the more you are increasing, the more your faith is strong. The more I tell people, I say, sometimes you don't see the manifestation because it takes us time to our faith to take hold. It's like God has given you something. You are holding it. Your faith is doing like this. You won't see it. But your faith comes to become strong. You say, it's mine. It's mine. Then it becomes. But when your hand is doing like this, say, Pastor, it didn't happen immediately. Yes, because it's taking time for your faith to take hold. And all you need to do is to feed yourself that word. Feed it. Keep studying it. Keep saying so. Keep saying so. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Let those who have new creation say so. Keep saying so. Keep saying so. It's a fight. Fight of faith. They want you not to say so. Then you want to say so. This is my testimony. It's part of my weapon. Say so. Say so. My question to you is, what do you say? What's your testimony about Jesus? What he gave you, what are you doing with it? Do you even acknowledge it? Lift up your hands and worship.
You have just listened or viewed another teaching from the Orange Foursquare Church family. Please visit http://store.ftlw.org, where you can listen to other teachings freely, or you can purchase and download MP3s. Thanks and remain blessed.